Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Back 48.
Go, go, go.
Who use bananas?
I'd like to.
They are the leader.
Do you know what they are?
Bananarchy.
Just in case you didn't know. That one,
that's,
I still
think it's a plan. That's what Sean said there.
I already blew that one out of the water.
Which one?
Bananarchy.
The what?
Bananarchy.
Oh, yeah. That's real.
That's it?
That's what they're called.
Uh-huh.
But I could have swore that one tall one was a plantain.
Yeah.
It was a little darker and bigger.
It's plantain to see.
Oh, there's a big bubble. Talk about your penis like that. Would you take this? I just can't squeeze it anymore.
Don't squeeze it!
We're here live. Welcome.
It's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, number 517.
He's Gatch.
Yes, I am, and that is Terry.
And we're here live at the Country Fair, Oregon Country Fair.
We are.
It was the final countdown I could hear in the background there.
Yeah.
Actually, this audio that we have going in the background here was recorded live at the Oregon Country Fair at 5:50 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Dude, that sounds like
a little
there's
bit
a party going on.
Oh, fucking
Jesus.
Hey, dude, it was still going. It was going for fucking... whatever 72 plus 24 is, 96 hours this was going
on. So I'm going to say that people were maybe on a little bit of sleep deprivation and some other things.
I wasn't, and I was up. Right,
really?
Then.
Yeah. You didn't have a hard time sleeping during the day?
Well, I was working. No, well, I slept minimally.
I slept from about
7 to 11, 7 to 12 max.
All right.
In the
all
morning,
right.
And then threatened to take naps, but it just never happened because there was too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
And all I did was smoke weed and drink a little bit of a THC infused vodka.
Wow. How'd that be?
Well, he mixed in like an ounce of keef into this vodka.
Yeah.
And it ended up being about a gram per shot. A gram of keef per shot of vodka.
Wow.
And the shot of vodka. You smoke a half gram of keef and you're like...
So is that pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it was tasted exactly like Stetson aftershave or cologne. I think he might have accidentally gave me the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
It was in this cool Crystal Skull bottle. But remember, have you seen those? It's Crystal Skull vodka?
Yeah.
It's a
vodka. For the bottle.
Yeah, it's $40 still.
Dan Aykroyd's, you know that? He owns that?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah.
But he gave me a little miniature one about this size.
Nice.
To keep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's Dan Aykroyd's vodka company.
All right, let's hear it for Dan Aykroyd.
Because
I like Dan Aykroyd here at the country fair.
Yeah. He's crazy.
Well, he is. Of course he's.
You know, of course, you know, Steve Martin was the wild one, right? As far as, like, personality, he was more wild.
Yeah.
And,
but they were too wild and crazy.
They were, but Dan Aykroyd now officially crazy, right?
You ever listen to his blues shows that are syndicated on the radio, like the House of Blues? And he pretends to be...
I might have maybe once.
Elwood Blues. This is Elwood Blues from Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, I can believe it. Why not? You know, I mean, it's an iconic character.
Broadcasting
as well.
Live from the House of Blues.
Keep it going, right?
Yep, so maybe next year... I brought all my stuff out there, but everybody was pretty preoccupied. I didn't want to bring the board out into the dusty thing, so I just brought this and held it in my hand and recorded. And I got a few interviews. I'm going to play some later on the show as we talk about what happened at the Oregon Country Fair. And then we've got a new phrase. You know, the phrase for Vegas is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens at the Oregon Country Fair happens at the Oregon Country Fair.
That just happens.
That's
there.
Just what it is, yeah.
And nobody was caught. Nobody had to be saved from the shitter this year, right?
Nope.
Improvement.
Nope, that is an improvement. And every lost item or child or whatever may have been misplaced was returned. We had a 100% success rate.
That's sweet.
One person on one night, I believe he was a male, who was, over the radio, they said, overly enhanced and needed some time to adjust.
Uh-huh.
Please bring the cart out and cart him to... He needed a big boy escort to Whitebird. Whitebird is the medical facility there and is a fully fledged, acclaimed, whatever you call it. It's a fully accredited medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
There are no cops allowed on the property.
Mm-hmm.
There are no 911 calls because we don't need that. We're all self-contained. It's very awesome. People ask me, were any cops or any fights? It's like, well, number one, there's never any cops because, like... We're the cops. I'm one of the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not cops. We're just...
peacekeepers.
Just people that want to be having fun, too. And there was one lady who was overly inebriated on alcohol, self-admittedly, and needed a cart ride back to Whitebird as well to sober up. So when people get to the point where they're like...
Certainly.
I'm fucked. They just say, hey.
Do they strap down the people that are on bad acid trips?
We haven't had that for years. That was about 5 years ago. There was a guy, we couldn't strap him down, and he was, of course, fully naked and tripping out and yelling some weird things. I'd have to talk to one of my cohorts to remember but he was yelling a specific thing that was going to get him, like he was having a bad trip, and so he was struggling to get away, and people were taking shifts to hold his legs down while they got some medication for him to calm him down. Luckily, my shift never came because they got him calmed down before my turn came. I was like, oh, I don't want to hold down this naked guy.
Yeah. I have a scary fact about doctors that is going to scare you shitless.
It might, but I don't see the doctor. I don't ever go to the doctor, but go ahead.
All right. Did you know that half of all doctors... Half finished in the bottom half of their class.
What about the other half?
Well, they're good doctors. They finished in the top half. You don't have to worry about them.
Well, I wonder if they have a prerequisite of top half, bottom half for the Whitebird out there, because those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Not one
well,
quack.
Well, probably experience, too, you know. I mean,
not one
helps.
Quack amongst them.
Right on.
Now, there were some people... You know, it was mostly just all positive peace and love. But every once in a while, someone might be working at, say, a registration booth for too many hours. And they've dealt with too many people in a certain period of time. And they need a break. And then they have an interaction with someone that doesn't go exactly the way they thought. And they have a we only ran into one of those. One of our campmates, Rosie, was going to get the SOO pass, a significant other pass, for her mother, who was Pierre's significant other. And shout out to Pierre. Didn't know you listened so much. Thank you for
shout
that.
Shout out, Pierre.
He's a constant listener. He's added to the list now. It's up to three. We got Hans, Carey, and Pierre. But anyway, so Rosie's going to get Robin's SOO, and she didn't have Pierre's name exactly. It's Pierre Marchand. She's not sure how to spell it.
Yeah.
She's not French. She's a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she's all, well, the lady's name is Robin Winters, and she's like, I can't find it on the list. And she's like, well, whose SO is she? And she's like, well, she's not my SO. I'm an SO, but she's an SO for Pierre. And the lady's just like, you can't get an SO. An SO can't get an SO. She's like, I didn't say that. I said that I'm not an SO, but my mom is someone else's SO. And the lady, like, turned red and was screaming and couldn't find the name. And then a guy came up and kind of nodded his head and rolled his eyes. Hey, why don't you take a little break here for a second, honey? Mm. And she's like, they're trying to get an SO pass on an SO. And she's like, no, we're not. And she's like, he goes, just go take a break. He goes, what's going on? She's like, Robin Winters, she couldn't find the name on the list. I don't know her SO's full name. And she was, I'm sorry, I upset her. And he's like, what about, did she look at this list? And the lady's all, no. And he goes, oh, here it is right here. And the lady just went, and walked off. But,
so, you know, too much time.
It's going to happen.
Dealing with a lot of people, you know, like in a rushed way, it's just, it's going to happen.
And if you don't know what you're talking, other than that, the whole time we were there for, I think I figured it out, like 120 hours or something total. Like, not one negative, because that wasn't my thing. That was someone else.
Certainly.
I had zero negative interactions with anybody, except for this one dude, and I found a cool way to get rid of him. He was really mad about this mobile disco cart that was rolling around the last few years, because they would go past the time, the cutoff time for, like, whatever you call it, amplified music, because people were trying to sleep. And he was just like, I'm bringing wire cutters next year, and I'm fucking shutting those guys. Because it had a disco ball with lights and a pretty powerful PA all self-contained on this little cart. And you just pushed along, and a big crowd of people just disco rave it up all around, mobile. We're like, dude, it's not that big of a deal because it only affects the area that it's going through for like 5 seconds. And big deal.
Yeah.
It's like a big truck going by your house if you live in the city. Oh, that
sucks.
Don't
you come to the country fair for experiences
exactly.
like this?
Exactly. He goes, well, I understand, but some people have small children and stuff, and they work day shifts, and I'm trying to be a little bit more overzealous than I need to be because I got this radio here, and they put... That's what he doesn't say, but what he really portrays, you know. So he was getting on us. He's like, you guys don't stand on this ramp here at the Ritz at the sauna because they got their own fucking security, and you're stepping on their toes. I go, I was talking to a friend warming up by the stove here. I wasn't doing any. And then I was like, you know what, though? I did see that mobile disco card. I go, it was, which was a lie. It was over by Morningwood Auditorium, and there was a bunch of people, and it was loud, too. He's like, I hate those guys. I go, you better go check it out. And he's like, whoop. So that's the way to... So hope you didn't get any info from me, Michael Holder. I know his Michael J. Holder. We call him Michael J. Fox Holder because his name is Michael J. But
yeah, and he doesn't love holding foxes.
He doesn't know how to work an iPod or a computer, so we don't have to worry about him listening. But Pierre's listening, and he knows exactly who I'm talking about. Isn't that guy a douchebag? Love him to death, but his Tom Selleck mustache has to go.
I got something related to douchebags. Did you know Casanova? One of the first people to have his ladies use a contraceptive.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was like a sponge or, you know, something to catch the sperm that was inserted into the vagina, and it was like a half a citrus peel.
That seems like that would sting.
Yeah, because acid was supposedly, like, it killed sperm.
Oh, man.
Isn't that weird?
That
here,
is
stick
weird.
This half a lemon.
You know what that also is? It's a test to see if she has any infection.
That is true, too, huh?
Guys used to joke about that. It's like, if you're ever worried, if you're having sex with a chick and you don't have protection and you want to know if she has an infection, just bring some lemon juice and just dip your fingers in it when she's not looking, and she'll go, ow, ow. And you're like, oh, well, good. We're not going to have sex then because obviously you're infected.
Yeah. What if it was a drunken encounter and then she kind of forgot about it, blacked out, and then she just, the lemon wedge just got all moldy in there.
That could happen.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like, you know, that strong pledge smell when it started molding.
Ooh. I heard a story of a girl who had a drunken go ahead and fuck me even though I'm bleeding story. And she thought that she'd taken her tampon out, but apparently she
didn't.
And then, like, forgot that it wasn't out, and then, like, who knows, put another one in for a few days, and then, like, a month later. Dude, a month! She had a tampon up in her... must have maybe got shoved up into her womb area. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, because I don't have any, but, I mean, wouldn't you feel that in there?
I did go to health class, and I know what a vagina, pretty much like the back of my hand when it comes to pleasure, but I don't know how the inner workings exactly... I know that there's, like, There's a womb.
Certainly.
There's a uterus in some of them and some other stuff. I don't really know what's up in there. But apparently there's room for a wadded up cotton ball full of blood
to sit to up just, there without knowing
for a month, dude.
Well,
she
some
like,
people have babies without even knowing it, though.
I know, that's ridiculous. I was just watching a comic the other night talking about that. Oops, I had a baby show, and he goes, "It's not like they missed their period and then like 6 months later they go, oh, I'm pregnant." It's like, you know, I was coming out. He goes, for some reason they're all Mexicans. I've never watched the show, but he's like, so, you know, I was walking down the street and I felt like I had to take a shit, you know? So I went to the bathroom to take a shit and it turns out it's not a shit, it's a baby. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't flush down the toilet. Some people hadn't heard the Chinese baby car and they got, cause they have those, women's straddle urinals at the country fair now in some of the outhouses where you just,
oh, okay.
You just step
just
over,
over
yeah, you just step over them and squat a little bit. And the other girls that
That's
were in
weird.
Our camp were complaining that the ladies should be facing forward out towards anybody that might be behind them because when you're, you know, you pee, you kind of, when a girl pees, she kind of sticks her butt out and, you know, bends her knee, you know, squats mm-hmm. a little bit. So you're, if you're seeing her from the front, you're not really going to see much. But when they're doing it from the back, they're like, we see your butthole, we see your vagina, and we see pee coming out of it. Please just turn. And they didn't have the balls because they're girls. They didn't have the balls to say anything. Ma'am, you should face towards the wall because that'd be way better. That's why toilets aren't facing the opposite. Well, besides the plumbing. But
that's how, I can't remember where I saw it. That's how it was originally, people use the toilet all wrong.
Yeah. You're supposed to sit on it backwards. That yeah. gives you a little table.
Yeah, to read on.
What was
and
that?
For
that
your
was
soda.
On something else, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody saw that. And Jaden, he likes to do that because he's got small little legs.
Uh-huh.
But most toilets are kind of packed yeah. in between it.
They need a taller tank is what is required, right? And skinnier.
Unless it's for kids. And you've seen those double toilets on that old Saturday Night Live fake commercial with Kevin Nealon and Victoria Jackson. It's like when you love your mate so much that you have to do everything together.
Oh, yeah.
And there's two toilets that were connected together, side by side, facing each other, so you could, like, hold hands while you're doing your business.
Yeah.
Ooh, yucko. Mm. Hey, before I forget, it is hump day. Get out there, and we're talking about shit and fucking and shit. And so it's hump day. Get out, do some humping. And tomorrow is Thursday, and I'm not going to include this little plug on the plugs because it's just tomorrow. Laughs for Leaf at Wetlands. It's on 9th and Garfield in Eugene, Oregon. It's a fundraiser. It's free, or you can donate $5 if you want. There's going to be a live auction. It's for a 10-year-old boy who recently had, check this out, a successful heart transplant.
That's awesome.
And they were saying he was going to be there. Now, here's an ironic story. I'm at the fair. Anyway, there's going to be lots of good, funny people there. Seth Milstein and myself will be doing some comedy sets. There'll be some improv people there as well.
Mm-hmm. I just read a little fact on heart transplants the other day, earlier today, and it said when the first one was. I think it was in the 50s. And it was... I think he lived about 15 days or something beyond that, which is probably, you know, miraculous for a first time heart transplant. Now,
this little dude's doing well.
More common,
it's
like,
been a couple months.
Yeah, we talked before about Dust's little brother who had
a 5-year-old or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And he, you know, they put you on a lot of like hormone medication. And stuff, you know, because I mean the biggest concern early on is, you know, the body rejecting,
right,
you know, the organ. And so, you know, they give it a lot of horn. He had a pretty nice mustache at 12, let me tell you what. He did, you know.
Yeah.
And
that was cool for the ladies.
Yeah
And he had a good fresh heart to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But he had quite a bit of paranormal encounters.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, that's kind of weird. We'll get to that. You said you're getting kind of sick of the ghost stories, and we were messaging.
Well, there's still some that are, you know, I like watching, but you know,
it's almost
not really
when you're watching it on TV. But it's different when someone's sitting there telling it to you face to face. And I did get one. We'll be listening to a little bit later, a ghost story from my friend and crew member, Sean O'Donnell. Fuck. Are you Rosie or are you? I think it's O'Connell. Anyway, He has a good little ghost story that was kind of scary. Scared the fuck out of him when he was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're 12, he's like, I don't really think about, I don't didn't make it up, and I still to this day think that this is exactly what happened. And sounds incredible to himself, and like there's no way it could even have happened, but whatever, you know. And then we started talking about pet ghosts, and then I asked him about Sasquatch, if he believed in Sasquatch. So it was a kind of a good little interview.
Right on. Right on.
Oh, and then when I was talking about, before I forget about the rest of this Laughs for Leaf thing, I'm coming down the trail at the country fair, and I run into this girl named Daisy. Oh, Terry, I want to introduce you to my friend. She's the lady from the Facebook page, Night Out Eugene. She schedules a lot of events and stuff. She's like, this is Terry. He's the funniest comedian in Eugene.
Right on.
Whoa. I was like, now, you've been drinking a little bit. And you probably haven't seen them all. I go, granted, Chris Castles is moving, but calm down there, Missy. She's like, no, seriously. She's like, me and my husband could not even stop laughing to take a drink during his whole set. We were cracking up from front to back, and there was other funny people there. Anyway, she's like, this lady here is putting on a fundraiser at the Wetlands on Thursday. I was like, oh, I'm on that. I'm doing that. And they're like, oh, no way. I can't believe. Oh, hi. My name's, I can't remember because I was like, at the country fair, I have trouble remembering. And Heather, maybe? I don't know. Sorry.
You were stoned. Jenna. And you probably met 200
Oh,
people.
Man, at least. So that was a random encounter.
You know, I once watched a backstage with Jack Nicholson. I think it was from like Little House, a Little Shop of Horrors days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was black and white, and it was just following him around as he was kind of on the set in the back. And, you know, I mean, a young buck at that day.
Oh, yeah, in his early 20s. Probably.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, people knew of him. He was of fame. And he said, I probably meet more people in a day than most people do in a lifetime.
Yep.
And I think that's, I mean, Jesus.
Just think
of how many
now.
Days yeah. he's lived.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about that, you know, just that when you're out in that kind of, culture and like, you know, the country fair, obviously, with all those people and in your position, you'd meet tons of people.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. But yeah, in the Hollywood scene, could you just imagine how sick you'd get of it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're counting people who you're dealing with in like a partner way, meeting new connections, and then just random people on the street, probably that times 100, who just want to come up and shake your hand or just say hi or yell.
And it's like that on a way smaller scale in the country fair, which is a community of about 4,000 or 5,000 people after the public leaves, which people trip out on that. Because,
certainly. And they're long. Most of them are long.
So like I meet all these people who are in a crew or on a security where, like you said, they're in your line of work. So you meet them, and sometimes you meet new people. Sometimes you meet the same people that you met last year, and you're like, hey, I remember you from last year. And then you get to where you're like, hey, Joe, I remember you. You know, I've met you. Like, I knew quite a few people.
Working together for 5 years out here.
Steve Berger is a good friend of mine, which I just found out that he just turned 70. And I thought he was like, I thought he was 58, dude. I was like, dude, if I am anywhere near as fucking stellar looking as you are, not in a sexual way, but he just does not look 70, doesn't act 70. He runs
70 is the new 55.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that guy on one of the storage shows too. He's like in his 70s and he doesn't look older than 60.
And this was
he looks creepier than fuck.
And he saw and his name's Mo?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
And
did he change his name?
And he hangs around this little kind of hippie chick who's looks like she's about 16, but probably about 30.
Yeah.
So it kind of balances out. They look like they're about 28 of years. Or no, they look, I don't know. I don't think they're actually together like that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But who knows? I mean, she is kind of weird, and he is kind of creepy. He's like a foot doctor, too, so.
Yeah. And this guy's name is Steve Berger. Which is kind of
that's
cool.
That's pretty cool.
And his name's Steve, so like he saw my commercial several times because he lives in Eugene, and he's like, hey, Steve. He always calls me Steve. And I'm like, hey, so I call him Burger. And then we were talking about name changes and stuff, and he said, yeah, my son changed his name. I go, what was his name before? And it was Ardley, which is a weird name.
Ardley Burger?
Ardley Burger, but he changed it to Ardley Mundane.
Huh.
Ardley Mundane?
I knew a guy one time.
What kind of a name is that?
I don't know.
Ardley Mundane. I'm Hardly Mundane.
I went to a school with a kid. His name was Toy.
His real name?
Toy. T-O-Y.
Toy Jackson?
I can't remember his last name, but his father's name was Audley. Spelt A-U-D-L-E-Y.
Audley. It's like Audrey with an L.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an oddly
yeah, and his son was Toy.
Name.
And I remember his other son who had a regular name. I can't remember. But I remember him and his friend one time. They were like 3 or 4 years younger than me and just happened to be biking around town. And I was biking around, and they were yelling some stupid shit at me. I don't know even why or what it was related to or anything It might have been, you know. But, yeah, they were just following me around and doing that. And I remember just turning around, and I just kicked him right off his bike.
Whoa.
Dude, nice. I was just like, you know, it was funny. But it was, you know, I mean, he's like 4 years younger than me. I was like, whatever, you can follow me around and talk shit. Yeah. I was maybe like 14 or something.
That's when you were really tough.
Yeah.
I knocked a 10-year-old off his bike.
Yeah, he did. With a swift kick while I was riding my bike. It was like jousting, man.
Yeah. You just ride by real quick and kick them off their bike. You going to keep talking shit to me?
Yeah. There was another guy who used to talk shit to me. It was one of Dust's little brother's friends. And one day, I'd had enough. He used to always call me Snatch. And he was quite a bit younger than me. And after a while, you know, I mean, I let it slide but for a while. But after a while, I was just like, no.
No.
And then I DDT'd him.
Whoa.
That's right. Jared Johnson, remember that?
Yeah, you fucker.
There's a whole new respect between us after that, though.
Yep.
We created quite the friendship after that. You know, it was like we weren't just like two brothers' friends hanging out in the same house just
anymore
doing things, you know. We were like, we can all hang out.
I saw Jared out there. He actually stopped out. He didn't come in the fair, but he owed me a little bit of money, and he was kind enough to bring it out there to the gate. We had to walk about. I gauge everything in minutes because I don't know how I don't have a pedometer. So I had to walk 12 minutes, which probably isn't very far. I wanted to bring a pedometer because I know I probably walked like at least 10 to 20 miles.
Easily.
So, and that for me is, no pun intended, quite a feat.
That is true, huh?
Yeah, that is kind of true.
Like walking twice as many miles?
What do you
think?
Dude, I don't walk very much. Like,
well, just because the one leg.
Ah. I fooled my crew leader, Jim, there, Lodestone. One night, we were getting ready for our last rove, and I had my leg off for a few hours because I hop around the camp there. Oh, my buddy Sean that I mentioned who's got the ghost story coming up, he brought a living room. We had two couches and a coffee table and a rug.
That's sweet.
Out in the woods. There's pictures on Facebook of it, and it says, yeah, that's a living room in the woods. So we pretty set the bar pretty high this year. We had like iPads and Kindles and fucking the living room and like.
That's crazy.
It was pretty awesome. We had about.
So you guys had.
We had seating for like. We had seating for 25.
Wow.
In our little area there where we could all just sit around and smoke joints and.
You didn't set all the seats up for a comedy gig?
No, but there's some stages here and there that are just. One's called the Nirvana stage and it's just little and it says. Get up here and perform, you know.
Yeah, right.
But I never did. I ended up doing a lot of my stuff because, of course, people introduce you. Hey, he's a comedian. They're like, oh, do some of your stuff. And I was like, no. But if you just, like, hang out for a while, it comes up every once in a while. You know, like, if we're talking about something, I'll go, boo doo 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 and they'll go, oh, that's funny. Is that one of your things? And I'm like, yeah. See now how better that was? Because I didn't just say, ooh, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was cool. We got to talk with a bunch of people. And Diane Watson, who's a constant source of, like, she probably outweighed Joanne Fabrics this year.
Oh, really?
It's my best source of my best material.
Right on.
She has phrases like, suck me off with a breast pump. Which is just random. Like, we'll be talking and she'll say, instead of saying, fuck you, she'll say, suck me off with a breast pump.
Wow.
Or, come on, tiger. Don't make, that's how she talks too. Don't make me get ugly early and break the vodka out because it's only Thursday.
Yeah.
That's, who drank all my beer, goddammit? Actually, I saw her full frontal nudity the first night I met her.
Wow.
And it, she's like, well, she was probably, she's like almost 10 years older than me, so we'll put it that way. And I didn't notice until Jim pointed out to me, she really does. She looks like Amy Schumer in 20 years.
Wow.
I started looking at her face. She really does. She has a queer and striking resemblance.
She probably appreciated your looking at her face rather than her naked boobies.
Oh, well, that was, well, it was mostly her crotch that was right in my face, which was scary because it was like, hadn't been mowed for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what she did.
Well, usually if people are going to travel around naked, they usually go with a patch.
It was a
right?
fluke. It was a fluke. See, well, we were sitting here around the fucking camp there, and she spilled her whole beer into her crotch. So she instantly stood up, and she's like, God damn it, I spilled my beer in my crotch. And so she just took her pants right off, and she was, like, sitting right next to me. So when she stood up, I think she knocked her chair over, and she just pulled her pants right down, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Nice to meet you, Watson.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Exactly, yeah. And she was a former clown, a makeup clown.
Oh, awesome.
And she has a checkered taxi cab that she used to roll in that she still has.
That's sweet.
Yeah, she's a pretty cool lady. She does get a little bit of...
Did you know there's two types of clowns?
There's a sad clown.
No. Yeah.
No? That's not one of them?
There's a carpet clown.
Ooh, carpet munching clown.
And a sawdust clown.
Okay.
And the sawdust clown does like the circuses and the fairs and, you know, they perform in a sawdust environment. And a carpet clown
goes to houses for
does corporate
clubs.
Parties and house parties
personal
and birthdays, stuff like that. And I didn't know that until the other day.
Well, there's also clowns like Lauderdale and Diane Watson who were primarily parade clowns.
Ah.
So would they be maybe concrete clowns?
Yeah.
A third type right there. Because
street
they just
clowns.
They would just do like the 4th of July parade in Harrisburg. They do Eugene celebration parades and they just run along and introduce
that's awesome.
Entertain the kids and throw out candy and maybe tie a balloon or two, maybe juggle a couple bananas or something.
But and then there's that one clown.
John Wayne Gacy?
No. What's Dan's clown?
Dan? Oh, Shingles.
Shingles, that's
the
right.
Sad
Shingles.
It's the sad clown. That's why I said there is a sad clown.
Yeah.
I believe. But, here's a funny story, too. I got this buddy, and this is related to Watson as well, and his name is Jake Carley. I've known him for probably 10 years. I used to work with him at Country Coach. I see him every year at the fair. I've seen him at metal shows. He's friends with my metal cohorts from the Eugene area, Jake Carley. Okay, well, Watson was five sheets away when we introduced her to Jake Carley, and she's all, nice to meet you, Charlie. So then his name became flip-flop to Cake Charlie, Cake Charlie, Cake Charlie, so we always call him Cake. Well, Cake has this badass fucking lightsaber, like a badass one, like a really killer one, and he's had it every year. And he was trying to, so he's going up against this chick with a smaller, kind of wussified, cheap little pink lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, I go, that's badass, dude. I was like, how much you pay for that thing? He's like, truth be told, I had it delivered to my door for $80. I was like, that's not bad. I go, because it's big and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I was going to
How does the thing come out?
Well, it's clear, and then when you turn it on, it goes, it's a laser.
It turns
that
blue.
Yeah.
All right.
And so he's bragging about it. He goes, and it's indestructible, dude. It's battle ready. He goes, that I can't even fight that bitch over there because her has like little LEDs. He goes, mine just has a hard plastic tube, and the light is in the end, and they have some special stuff on the inside of the tube that makes it illuminate and go and turn on, and it's got the sound effects. He's like, so it's indestructible and battle ready. I go, so you couldn't break that thing over my leg? And he's like, fuck no. Snap.
Oh, no.
He's like, fuck yes. And he's like, I go, dude. And it just broke at the bottom where the handle connects.
Uh-huh.
And I go, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't, because he was.
That's what you get when you have a two-piece sword that breaks right there at the hilt.
He was kind of drunk. And I go, dude, I'm sorry. I wish I would have had you do that before you told me you paid $80 for it. And he's like, it's cool, man. It's not broke. I just got to fix it. I said, wait, what? Wait a minute. It's not broke, but you have to fix it?
Yeah.
So that's fucking weird.
Fix it.
And then I redeemed myself by letting him kick my leg into a hyperextended frenzy in front of a group of people who didn't know what was going on at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
how did,
like,
that go over?
Whoa! Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And that was why,
dude,
when
I could have gave somebody a bad trip.
First met his girlfriend, he's like, hey, shit, name Rachel, something. Honey, this is my friend Terry. I haven't seen him for a long time and I'm pissed at him. You fucking dick. He kicks me in the leg and it didn't go off right the first time. And she's like, oh my God. Cause he kicked it and it just kind of went a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, and I'm like, kick me again, you son of a bitch. And he kicked again. It flips all the way around and people are like, whoa. Cause it's totally nonviolent. Like, we got one call where a guy said, oh, we need a medic to come out to the Far Side camp cause the guy got stabbed in the foot with a rusty bolt. And they're like, okay, is this violent in nature? And they're like, no, he was walking and he stabbed a rusty, he stepped on it and it stabbed into his foot. And they're like, well, you shouldn't use the word stabbed because.
Yeah, he stepped on a nail.
Yeah, he stepped on a rusty bolt, okay? He didn't get, I got stabbed in the foot with a nail that I stepped on myself. But yeah, so that was pretty funny. He broke his lightsaber. I found a pretty cool, cheap-ass little laser scepter with a crystal ball on the end. That was my best fair find that I found lying on a bench that someone had...
Did they have the... what are those brothers with the funny hats?
The Flying Karamazov?
That's it!
I saw that. I didn't see them perform, and they were not on any of the things, but the one dude was there. I see them every year.
I used to have one of their nice hats.
It's actually the guy that got the most lines on the Seinfeld episode when they had to take the friar's coat back, and the Flying Karamazov brothers were on Seinfeld. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, but no.
Yeah.
But it sounds familiar now.
Yeah, and so like last or 2 years ago, we were in line waiting to get our photo ID. And he was right next to us with like a accordion, and everybody's like, "That's a dude from Seinfeld." That's not the dude from Seinfeld. That's the dude from the Flying Karamazov brothers, and he was on Seinfeld once.
Yeah,
but whatever, you know. So yeah,
he's probably, you know, more renowned for being at the country fair yearly than for being on Seinfeld, obviously, in my eyes.
And the only celebrity I saw, and when I told people, they didn't know, most didn't know who he was. You might be familiar with Michael Franti and Spearhead, you know?
Yeah, sure.
He was cruising around with his whole entourage, and there was buzz going around saying that he was going to play the midnight show unannounced because all the bands that play for the midnight show aren't listed in the thing. So unless you hear
when you're wandering around, people start buzzing.
Unless you hear the buzz from someone who knows what the schedule is, everybody's like, oh, is it going to be Floydian Slips tonight, or is it going to be the White Album Band? You know, there's tons of good bands that are
You know, Lance has seen that guy live.
Who's that?
Michael Franti.
Yeah, I know he's a big fan of his. That's why I thought he would be pretty stoked, and that's why I was like going, hey, that's Michael Franti. And they were like, who's that? I go, I don't really know, but he plays in Eugene a lot, and he's renowned.
Spearhead's a huge band in their roots rock reggae. Yeah, in their genre. Mm-hmm. And their fans are really passionate about him.
And at first I didn't think it was him because he was wearing a Spearhead shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, really? Is he going to do that? Just to say, hey, check me out. I'm that guy. But he had a whole like entourage too.
Yeah.
That was like cruising all around him. Like he was in
the middle. Was Adrian Grenier in there?
Probably. I don't
know.
The
guy from Entourage?
Oh, yeah. That was
Turtle.
That's who it was. It was fucking Jeremy Piven. Matt Dillon's brother.
Piven's never part of the Entourage show. He's the dick.
He's in it. He's in the show.
He's the dick.
Okay, that's cool.
You ever watch that show?
I've only watched bits and pieces of parts of it.
You know what? Yesterday, I was actively searching out how to download The Wire. Because, dude, I've seen a lot of shows.
That one's got you.
And The Wire is still hands down the best fucking show I have seen ever.
So it's not on Netflix right now?
It's not on anything. I think you can download it on Amazon piecemeal. you know, probably
it's not on like
bucks
a torrent
a
or anything.
I tried, man, but all I was getting was funky little things, you know, that were looked questionable.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of torrenting, so.
So over the last week, you haven't watched any?
Oh, I have.
But have you watched any ghost story stuff, or are you burnt out on that?
Yeah, I have. I watched, I don't even remember. I watched a bunch of the old celebrity ghost stories and the old hauntings of ... which they're very closely connected. What it'll do is it'll kind of spend a little bit with the little story of somebody who was on, let's say, Regis.
Okay.
Right,
because
he was on there.
Regis.
And so Regis was on one episode of Celebrity Ghost Hunters, and now this show, The Haunting Of, where a medium comes and takes that person back to the actual area to, you know, go and see the ghosts and kind of work through their experience, which is interesting. And then, and then The Haunting Of goes deeper. It just deals with the one, and she goes, and he explains exactly what happened, and she doesn't know anything, but she picks up on all the energies and stuff, and it's kind of interesting, you know, in both a ghost story, and they do it well to where it's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And, like I said, the medium seems like she knows what the hell it's, you know, I mean, I don't doubt it could be done.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll get to this ghost story here in a bit. Before I forget this, I told my friend who broke his lightsaber over my leg, old cake, Jake Carley, to listen in, and he might hear this snippet. I was on the trail walking, and I had the recorder with me, and he was working his shift as a security peacekeeper, and I came up to him. I think I got this queued up fairly close here.
Are you thirsty?
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Let's see here where we are. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
Are you thirsty? That was me asking JD.
Did you know all, oh, you got it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to fill in with a little tidbit.
Give me one.
Okay. Did you know mosquitoes favor the color blue?
I did not.
So if you're out in a land of mosquitoes, just don't wear blue.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they won't be around you, but they won't be as around you. And what you should do is probably tell somebody to put on a blue hat.
And I've heard that they're more attracted to people who've been drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so, yeah, a soak, a blue hat and alcohol and give it to your friend. Or a non-friend.
Yeah, non-friend. And also, speaking of mosquitoes in the country fair, there's usually quite a bit, and we need some off or some DEET and some off fans to hang on our chairs and stuff.
Maybe a blue light.
Dude, there was none. There was
one
mosquito. I guess it's been so dry lately, and there was no rain, so there was not really any water for them to collect around. But,
That's cool.
The mosquitoes were wonderful. I think I got bit once in the whole 120-some hours. But
anyway,
path roving, and I just randomly came up to Jake, and I think I said this to him.
We're walking around gathering thoughts of people on the 2013 Oregon Country Fair. What are your thoughts this year?
I think it's really stupid. People with carts think they have the right-of-way in a really crowded path. Just because you have a cart with something stupid in it does not mean I should get out of your damn way.
Let me preface this again. What's grinding your gears today?
Oh, Terry's wooden leg grinds the shit out of my gears?
Yeah, it fucks up my lightsaber, too.
Yeah, it does.
Go ahead. Oh!
There's a nice drum in the background.
So, I know. I'd expect to hear that.
The special features of the TagCast podcast next week. You might find yourself grinding someone's gears.
Nice. You
know.
And then his friend said,
eventful.
Listen to what his friend says.
That's pretty good, Rob. What's your TFPO?
Yeah. It's well, we just changed because most people these days.
Oh, you couldn't hear him. He said, you guys have a podcast?
I only listen to podcasts.
See, when people find out about podcasts, they realize how cool they are.
Yeah, I think Pierre chimes in here and says,
Nobody ever fucking knows about Duncan Trussell.
Yeah, fucking T-shirt. I love it.
Yeah, that's good.
Is he a lot?
Family hour?
Yeah. Are you an orthopedic surgeon?
There's overlapping conversations, but Pierre comes in and says something like, can't believe how many people have smartphones and don't use them to listen to podcasts.
I don't.
Well, you listen to it on your computer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't listen to podcasts.
Well, I do occasionally.
No, you don't.
You know what I have been watching, though, and you don't have Netflix anymore, do you?
I do, but I don't have the internet right now. I've been watching it a little bit at a time on my phone, which is a four-inch screen, not that
new,
cool.
The new original series on there, Orange is the New Black.
I've been hearing some hype and seeing some hype
about it. I watched probably about five or six episodes, and I'm going to get back to it. And
somebody said they loved it.
It's great.
That I respected.
It is solid. You know, coming off of Weeds, because it's a
Genji Johan.
Yeah, thing. And the whole first season's on there. And it's...
Well, I think it's a direct exclusive for Netflix.
Yeah,
kinda
it is.
Kind of like that one that I tried to watch that I can never remember the name of.
Hemlock Grove.
Yes.
And so it is beautiful. I really liked it. It is a little bit of drama, comedy going on. But it's very much like the feel of Weeds in a way. But it's more... Well, I could set it up. I mean, you're not really going to lose anything.
Right.
It's
giving me the premise.
Yeah, the lady is in a relationship with Jason Biggs.
Okay.
American
Pie guy.
Yeah, and they're doing well, and she gets convicted of a crime, carrying money in a drug deal across borders with her lesbian partner. 10 years prior.
Oh.
So she's being sent to the big house, you know, kind of like she's already been sentenced, but she's, you know, she can turn herself in within the given time or whatever.
Right, right.
And so, you know, that's where it sets up, is leading to that point.
Okay.
And there's a lot of flashbacks, you know, with it. And this lesbian girlfriend is Laura Prepon from, what's her face?
70s Show.
Yeah, okay. And... you know, Jason Biggs adds the American Pie kind of funniness, mm-hmm. of masturbatorial humor,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, and brings that vibe into it, definitely. And, you know, it starts off with a nice little titty scene for the main character, which is bam, right off. You know, I mean,
titties,
hey,
you got
that's
going
to... get you right into it.
Yep.
So and there's some very interesting characters within this prison system, you know, and so on that point, you know, I mean,
so it
like
has
a prison
to do the oranges from the orange suits.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And very, very promising. I like the characters, even the ones that aren't so good, you know, in the prison.
Right.
It's pretty much you're learning, you know, it's the hierarchy of the prison. With a little bit of the backstory thrown in here or there of what got her there. And yeah, I mean.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
And there's lesbians in it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There's kissing.
We had
like
some
that.
Lesbian. We had a lesbian encounter in our camp. Our camp. You come back into our camp,
uh-huh.
and it's a dead end. That's our camp.
There's probably a good amount of lesbians out.
Oh yeah, there was lots. There was even some guys holding hands down the trail, but
certainly.
You never know if they're just having peace, love, and happiness, or if they're actually
sure.
fully involved. But anyway, these two chicks come in there holding hands, and they're walking through, and they're like, "Oh, hi," and we're like, "Oh," and they realize it's like a living room. You know, there's a couple couches and some chairs and a bunch of camps and tents and shit, and they're like. Oh, is there a trail back here? And we're like, no, this is a dead end. There's no trail. Where are you trying to go? And they're like, oh, we were just looking for a trail to make out.
Ah.
We're like, oh, you can make out here on the couch if you want. And they're like, no, thanks. Sorry to bother you.
Dang. Well, at least you offered.
That was kind of fun.
That's comfortable, you know. I mean, if they didn't care, I mean, comfortable.
Yeah, we also offered friends like that came to our camp and maybe drank it up a little bit or got really high on some weed or something. And we're like, if you get too wasted and you don't feel like driving home, you can always crash on our couch. People threatening to bring futons and shit next year, so we never know.
Did you eat anything?
Like edible stuff?
Anything.
Oh, I ate all
edible,
kinds.
Edible.
Weed?
Weed.
I ate some no-bake cookies that had like, what'd she say, 4 ounces of weed and 2 pounds of butter. And they made like two batches. They were mm-hmm. pretty potent and strong. I could feel it a little bit. I ate like four. I mean, it kind of, they didn't set up as well, so it was just in this big bag, and there were some chunks and then a bunch of like crumbles.
Uh-huh.
It was really good. I mean, you could taste a little bit of good weed and a lot of chocolate and coconut or uh-huh. whatever makes those no-bake cookies. But other than that, as far as food, we brought most of our own. But for, as far as buying stuff with our fare bucks that we get for working, we bought a lot of taco salads and tacos and some pizza and just different stuff. But I don't go
for...
Is
pizza now there?
No. Pizza later. No, there's two pizza places that are fairly good, but they're just greaseball pizzas, pepperoni, and then they got some veggie hippie
plus
shit.
Plus, you know, sitting out. It's hot out there.
Yeah, it's hot. But they sell fast, so it's usually pretty fresh.
Certainly, yeah.
It's pretty fresh. And they've got...
love pizza, man.
Yeah, so wherever you go. But then there's a lot of the hippies, so they got, like, the Thai food and the Peruvian food and the Indian food. And
the falafel food.
There was a place that was called Artichoke that's always there by Cafe 26 right by Main Stage, and at night they were open, and he was this was what they were yelling and hawking to sell, like, because people yell stuff out of their booth to get people's attention as they're walking mm-hmm. by. He's like, hot fresh artichokes for sale, cock and ball sandwiches and corn on the cob. That was the three I don't know what a cock and ball sandwich is, but I didn't ask.
A hot dog and meatballs.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I did find out. Now, every year, about 4 o'clock in the morning on one of our shifts, we'll find some place to park our asses on a bench somewhere, usually at a smoking section.
Just carry that couch around.
Unbeknownst to us, there's always a camp right behind us that's trying to sleep that we don't know about. And we get, and we usually get fucking told, be quiet, we're trying to sleep. When we get into the subject of all those things like Hot Carls and California potato chips and all that, and when, you know, so we're getting into that subject matter. And so we've covered all of them, and Jim finally comes up with one that no one had heard yet. And he's like, well, you've heard of the Cosby sweater, haven't you? And I was like, no, what the fuck's a Cosby sweater? And he's like, well, that's when you take like a big bag of like Fruity Pebbles and you just eat way more than you should. And then you just puke all over your girlfriend's tits. And that was the reaction from the seven of us, was like, bah, ha, ha. And then it's
that's
like
funny.
Could you guys quiet down, we are trying to sleep over here. And we're like, and we all turned into like the awkward Cosby school kids sweater. Just covering our mouths going, oh. We're looking at each other, it's totally dark, we're like,
you know, one of my most memorable Cosby episodes is when Theo went out and he bought that expensive... No, he wanted to go out and buy a nice silk shirt, but Bill Cosby wasn't going to have him, his son, and an $80...
sweater?
No, it was just a shirt.
Wow.
And so, Denise...
Camille handles the sweat of money!
Denise wanted to be a fashion designer, so she made it, and the sleeves were like two different sizes, and it was a mess. And, you know, funny things. They all had good comic timing in that household.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Any of those Cosby kids or Bill ever show up on any celebrity ghost stories? Like,
Maybe some similar things such as, closely related, Ahmad Rashad has been on there.
So Felicia was his wife, right?
Yeah.
And she was the mom on Cos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, there's been a ton. Richard Grieco was on there recently.
Right on.
Some creepy ones, you know. It depends on how much you really like the celebrity, too. If you're not really familiar with the celebrity, then you're not really going to probably care as much unless it's an engaging paranormal reenactment.
And there's always that thought of it's filmed on TV. There's a cut.
Certainly.
There's a take two.
It's a reenactment.
Exactly.
You know, so, from a story that the celebrity's telling in the background.
Now, this guy, not a celebrity, but he's a celebrity in my book because he brought a fucking living room to our campsite. So I also recently requested information before the fair on how do I find your podcast. And I told him, he said, way cool. And so I think he's a new listener, Sean O'Connell. So I have to set this up because I didn't get my recorder recording in time once I realized
real quick,
he was.
Rowdy okay. Roddy is coming up on Hunting of.
Ooh, episode. Right on, Rowdy Roddy. So I go, who's got a ghost story? And Sean's like, I got one. He's like, when I was a little kid, he goes, there was this house that a friend of my parents lived at. And they said that there was this ghost that lived there. And this is what he said. He said, it used to play a pipe organ on top of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, on top of the house? And he said, oh, no, shit. He didn't laugh at me like that. He said,
he laughed way off in the background. He threw his voice.
I go, could you get back over here for a second? I go, so... I said, he played the pipe organ on top of the house?
Excuse me, in the top floor of the house.
Oh, okay.
And supposedly this thing
this
would
is at
start
the camp
playing
too.
Late at night.
You hear the crickets in the background.
With nobody in the house. And so they believed there was an old ghost. And there were she had seen him and heard him in the house growing up. They just kind of grew up with this thing in the house. Well, somehow, supposedly,
and Pierre
when her
almost
parents passed away, it made its way in a vehicle.
Like our podcast.
Across the mountain.
Yeah.
The ghost did, okay, and ended up in my buddy's house.
See, now that's a question I have too. Do ghosts travel?
So he says that the ghost was in his house. So we were all freaked out as kids, you know, big old, you know, house, lots of space, big room in the, like, family room area that was like a vaulted ceiling. So it was just like European style, I guess, or
right.
Ski style. So,
ski style?
I'm thinking ski lodge, like a ski lodge. Ski lodge, sorry.
Like Polish.
So, so my job as a kid when they leave was to feed the dogs and stuff.
Pierce.
Right. So, one night, and I'd usually done it right after school. Well, it was like nighttime and it was dark, and I remember walking down the street and going up to the front of the house and being all freaked out, thinking, you know, I don't really want to go in here.
Pipe organ's going to start playing.
The pipe organ wasn't in that
right,
house,
right.
But I walk in the house, and as you walked in the front door right there, the hallway went this way, and then made another right into the sunken living room, and then as you came into the door, you walked into the kitchen which had kind of a dropped counter space around the top, and then shelves and stuff. So I went to go walk around, and all of a sudden I heard the TV come on.
White noise.
In the other room, and I was like, what the fuck? And I came walking around
the corner.
How old? I was 12. And I came walking around the corner, and I instantly, every freaking hair in my body stood up, and I went to go pull the cord out to turn the TV off, and the TV didn't turn off.
What the fuck?
And I took off about this high off the ground, fucking door, gone.
Scooby-Doo!
Yeah. It was not going back in that
house,
period.
Cool. Because my wife said she heard a story, or said she saw or felt some kind of presence, and my ex said that she saw an apparition of her dead grandmother at the foot of her bed, and I was like, yeah, but that's kind of probably a dream. She's like, no, she was adamant. I woke up, I was not asleep, and my grandma was there.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
So that's about it. And then he talked about, pet ghosts. Because you said that about Animal Channel or whatever.
Yeah. You know, there's a million ants per person.
In the world?
In the world. And so you think about a million ants per person living. What's the lifespan of an ant?
Probably a week, too.
All right. So for every week, there's a million dead ants in the spirit world per living human.
Yeah. That's and we got into that. I skipped over it though. But
and are they breeding on the other side?
And what about all the dinosaurs too?
Oh wow!
And then we got into that, and then he told me a story about his dog. Listen to this:
the dinosaur ghosts are running around. That is like because they have an Animal Planet show now that's about animal ghosts. Like if your dog dies, maybe he'll come back to haunt you or visit you.
Oh, jeez.
That's way past cemetery, too, right?
I had a dog named Satan growing up. That's kind of scary.
Satan came back to haunt me from the dead.
Oh, gosh.
Chocolate Satan was a pet, I recall.
I told him that your dog would haunt you, and he's like, oh, my God, I had a dog named Satan when I was growing up. And I don't know what this is going to say, but I have it marked on my list here as science. So this is some science from Sean.
If it's not so much a haunted place is a different phase or realm.
Wow.
Say the human eye only sees the color spectrum of A to B, and the color spectrum goes from A minus to C, and you're not seeing certain areas of the color spectrum, and there's actually things that are out here that we can't see.
You got to take pictures with a digital camera to see the orbs.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a multiverse kind of a theory, right? Like, there's parallel universes, but you're just not tuned into them.
Right.
And you know, the same thing with bees supposedly seeing five dimensions or something. I don't know, something like that.
Really?
Four dimensions or something.
I heard the death toll is up to like 100,000 now for the bees.
Really?
Yeah.
In the
Portland area. Not just
bees. They say the world will end if the bees die, because there's no pollination of anything.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're listening, Pierre, but that was pretty awesome because you were coughing so hard in the background that you almost puked. I tried to find. I don't know.
There's some great stories.
Listen to this.
You believe in Sasquatch?
Oh, Sasquatch! No, there was something about 10 minutes down the line here where Pierre said, "I just now recovered from that fucking ridiculous bong hit." He said he puked one time in his mouth. So you know all about that.
Yeah. He gave himself a Cosby's tongue sweater.
Exactly. Except he hadn't been eating Fruity Pebbles.
That's
so I told
hilarious.
Him a story about how we started the episode, and you're like,
I love Fruity Pebbles.
You're like, I'm not ready yet. And then you went and threw up and then came out sweaty. So he got a behind the scenes look at the TagCast podcast, and I'm sure he's listening right now. So
right on.
Thank you, Pierre.
Yeah,
and
thank
Sean
awesome,
for the
man.
Fucking stories. That's
that was some great
now,
stuff.
That's the weird thing is that when you hear a ghost story from a celebrity that's on TV, you think, well, it could be doctored, it could be true.
Certainly,
but when your friend, who is your friend, and you don't really suspect that your friend would be, and he was, when he was looking at me and talking to me, as it sounded on there, he was totally sincere. So
I would welcome if somebody wanted to make one up too, because that'd be fun.
Well, yeah, it's fun to sit around like,
but you know, say afterwards or whatever. But if it's real. You know, I mean, be real about it.
Yeah, if it's real, then be real.
I got to touch on some science fiction stuff. You brought that up.
And, all right.
There's a show on Netflix now. It's hosted by Ridley Scott. And it's Prophets of Science Fiction, right?
Oh, that's the guy whose brother died.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And he did, like, Alien and stuff.
Right.
He's a huge science fiction director.
Uh-huh.
Blade Runner.
Yep.
And each episode talks about one guy. Like, you got H.G. Wells was, whatever he was. He wore the worlds.
Yeah.
And then you had the guy that did the time machine, who was about time travel. And you had Isaac Asimov and the robots,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And it deals into, like, the time that these writers were around. And how projected off that these things were that they were thinking about, you know?
Right.
Like, at the time that, was it Arthur C. Clarke with the 2001?
Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was thinking of computers, like, taking, learning on their own to the point of having emotions and going mentally crazy.
Right.
When a computer was like the size of a house to do simple calculator type calculations at the time. That's what a computer was doing in his day.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was thinking way so far out there.
Yeah. And like, no, I don't know if people today, if it seems more intense of a thing to look back on it and say that he was thinking that way back then, if it was so like, I don't know what the word for I'm thinking of, so
prophet?
Futuristic and brown groundbreaking at the time that it didn't have as much impact because
certainly.
It was like, oh, yeah, well, I saw the Jetsons cartoon, you know.
So, yeah, certainly. But another A.C. Clarke thing that he prophesized in one of his books and that 60 colleges are currently working on, dude, and this is scary. Are you afraid of heights?
A little bit. I wanted to skydive, and we talked about that before.
The Space Needle?
No, I walked right out there. I'm not afraid of
what if it was 22,000 miles up?
Maybe. That'd be more of a Space Needle.
It would be. And that's what...
I have dreams of that shit, dude.
He talks about a world that just has these poles off of it, 22,000 miles up.
And you can just go up
the elevator goes up, and then...
You can look down?
Yeah, and it's like laser-propelled from the ground, shoots up to these panels that push the elevator up into the sky, 22,000 miles, and then from there you can go wherever you want.
I love that shit, man. I watched this video on YouTube of this guy who... changes the light bulbs on the top of the cell phone towers.
Oh, Jesus.
And he climbed all the way
on
up.
On YouTube?
Yeah,
dude. I've seen that, dude.
It's intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he takes his shit off towards the top.
Yeah, he takes his shit off. Yeah, because it would be too time. It would take all day
right.
to do it if he did the safety measure.
And he was...
For like the last 80 feet or something like that
even
on
watching
a thin pole.
Even watching it on a small screen, but then I watched it on my computer and I'm like... Fuck, man, that is
it's
so
tough
intense,
to watch,
you know.
And people should look that up for sure, man.
It's like
most dangerous job or
something like that.
Or highest
climb on film, anything you put in the crime. It's pretty intense though. And then like, man, people were commenting on it like, "Oh, I almost threw up a couple times or whatever."
It's a long video of
Oh, it's about 7 minutes, yeah, cuz it's his it's not time-lapsed or nothing. It's him climbing all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And another guy obviously climbing and filming him, and some of the then it's edited together where he's got some of them are his head cam where it's on his helmet or whatever, but so yeah, I'm not afraid of heights, but
an elevator.
I don't know.
Oh, I had a brilliant ghost thought myself.
Okay,
you know how a ghost can build up enough energy to do like make a TV work with no plug it in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna say, why hasn't a ghost texted anyone?
Maybe they have. Hey, have you ever been texted by a ghost?
You think they'd call somebody. Like, maybe they don't have a quarter, but they could still call someone who cares.
They could have the power to text on someone else's plan, probably, I would imagine.
Oh, that's when sometimes you get those weird phantom charges. It's actually a phantom.
It's a ghost text. That's exactly what it is.
What's in Hans a CD player?
Okay, before
What's
I forget.
You should text random
What's
numbers and say, this
player?
Is a ghost. I've learned how
today?
To text.
Did your mother pass away? If you send 100 messages saying, did your mother pass away, one of them would be right.
Yeah. At least.
At least. All right, so it's Wednesday hump day. It should be a stumper day instead of a humper day. Hans usually stumps me on Monday. Today I've heard of the artist but didn't know of the album. John Cage, he likes to listen to the experimentations of John Cage, and we actually did some John Cage on a previous episode and delved into what it is. To be into John Cage, John Cage Fight is a local band consisting of Dave Trinkle and J.D. Monroe, and that's why we're talking about that. But the album he's listening to, I guess, I don't know how you'd pronounce it. It's 4:33. It's kind of like 4'33". Or, I don't know, that's weird. But you know what I mean? Like 6'1" would be.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 4:33.
Maybe it's 4:33-inch records.
Hmm.
You know, Hans, from now on, I'm going to research these releases so I can talk about them a little bit because it just makes me feel stupid. Why don't you listen to Show No Mercy? I could talk about that for 4 or 5 minutes. Easy. Instead, you give me some shit that I don't even know what I'm talking about. Are you trying to make me look dumb? You ready for practice today? It's going to be fun. Hans has a whole new song.
Wow.
It better be
good. Shout out to my sister. It's her birthday today.
Hey, sister birthday.
Happy birthday. I don't think she listens.
We've been talking so much about the country fair and ghosts and stuff, I forgot all about birthdays. Good birthday today. This rocker has a great first name, but he goes by something else. His name is Terry. Geezer Butler, bass player for Black Sabbath, 64 years old today.
Oh, I was going to guess.
Oh, I blew it. God damn it. I fucking ruined the game. Okay, well, I got someone else for you to guess then, since I blew that.
All right.
I'll give you a hint. drunken cheeseburger eater.
Drunken what? Oh, it's the Hass.
The Hasselhoff.
The Hoff. That's what I was
Now, isn't
with.
That sad that for David, where you could say Baywatch, you could say Knight Rider, or you can say drunken cheeseburger eater.
He and embraced it, though.
It's got the same significance.
He learned from it, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know you're not a sports fan, but you might. This is a very
Steve
simple thing.
Oh, sorry.
George Brett. Which is very, you could go like that.
George Brett! Yeah, okay.
And he was known for, he did a hemorrhoid. No, what was it? He missed a playoff game, an important playoff game, because he had hemorrhoids. And so he was ridiculed for that for a long time. And then along came an incident to where he... was caught cheating by using too much pine tar on his bat or something like that.
You can't use too much tar on your bat.
And he said, what would you rather be known as, the Preparation H guy or the guy who used too much pine tar?
You win. That's right. That's when he winned. He vindicated himself for sure. So how old do you think the Hoff is today, David Hasselhoff? I want to hear your... Knight Rider was this year. This was Baywatch. He was probably this old.
Well, Knight Rider was like 83, and he had to be at least 30s. So that'd be. But he can't be older than 64. So,
ooh, smart logic.
So 53, that would put him. I gotta say, he's 63.
It's very close, but he's 61 because you just went the max.
Yeah, because I was like I just figured he was older than 30 at 19 at Knight Rider age.
Right.
And that would have put him at 53 in the max. He could be his 50. So.
Yep. For sure. So that's all the birthdays we got besides your sister, as David Hasselhoff and Geezer Butler. And I forgot to mention after we heard that Hans was listening to John Cage that I was listening to a band. Maybe you don't know of them, Hans. They're pretty good. They're from across the pond. I don't know exactly where they're from. Pretty good death metal called God Dethroned.
Uh-huh.
Figured you'd at least look into it just with a title like that. The album I was listening to is called Into the Lungs of Hell.
Wow.
But they're pretty good. I like those guys. Hadn't listened to that CD for a while, and I just perused through my collection looking for something that I knew I hadn't listened to for a long time, and that was it. So check out God Dethroned if you like death metal. It's pretty good stuff.
All right.
All right, you got anything else? It's been a good Wednesday. We're already... We're over, so...
People should go onto Hulu if you can and watch a clip, just the clip if you can, if they have it on there, of America's Got Talent, of the guy who did the little stand-up comic routine.
Oh, with the stage presence?
He had stage presence. He had prescription glasses.
Fucking pissed.
He had, like, prescription bottles on glasses that he actually put on. He had a big old... mallet that looked like Gallagher's hitting a stool for some stool softener. That
he was
kind
pun
of
prop. Pun prop.
He was. And Howard Stern, after he was quickly buzzed, but he just kept going on, and they kind of humored him. Howard Stern looked at him and he goes, "You remind me of Howie Mandel." And then Howie Mandel cracked up.
That's funny. That's America's Got Talent.
Yeah, which I'm not a steady watcher of.
Well, yeah, I watch the clips.
Howard and Howie are kind of funny. I don't know who one of those people are. I know who Nick Cannon is, and he's
Mariah Carey's husband.
Yeah, I haven't seen many of his MTV shows or anything like that, or any of them.
Yeah,
but he's kind of goofy and. Almost overly encouraging.
Yeah. This kind of sounds like the background of a Pink Floyd song or something.
Or that Weezer song.
So we hope you guys have enjoyed the whole Oregon Country Fair 2013 stories show. Some more might surface because, you know, you never have time to talk about it all ever. I would like to mention, once again, our gracious sponsor, Pizza Now, down there, Queen and Hill, Albany, Oregon. Check them out. They've got some good stuff. and they treat us right. So check out Pizza Now in Albany, Oregon. Also,
my mom had great reviews of the meatball pizza.
Really? The Meteor?
The Meteor. And, yeah, I want to design a pizza there. With,
hey.
Like,
maybe you could work with them.
Some sliced meatballs with the barbecue pulled pork.
Wrapped around them like a...
Oh, man.
You could make something out of them or something.
Yeah.
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 Also, don't want to forget our other gracious sponsors, Complete Ag Resolutions, Mr. Stan Cusick. Complete Ag Resolutions out in Shedd, they provide solutions to all your agricultural problems and needs. They'll fix your tractor. They'll soup up your AC in this hot weather that we're having. Even though it rained a little bit yesterday, I saw some lightning yesterday, some bolt lightning coming down at Highway 34. If you happen to got your tractor struck by lightning, maybe your electrical system is haywire, call up Complete Ag Resolutions. They will solve your problems, and then they will resolve them, because they resolve them. How do you know they don't resolve them? All of a sudden, this is a plug by John Lennon, who is no longer with us, but check out Complete Ag Resolutions at Facebook.com.
It's hitting me more like a Ringo Starr.
Facebook.com with Complete Ag Resolutions.
Yeah.
Could be a George Harrison.
You sound very Christian, but also very magical.
We always called him Paul McCartney. So yeah, check out Stan Cusick.
Christian, that's not kosher, is it? Like
that sounds Chris, like I think that's my character's name.
Does Christian
how do you
do
know
Christians
my name? Not magic, Christian.
Embrace magic?
Well, I'm a Christian and I love magic. That's my first. Stop laughing at me. As you can tell, we are still here live at the country fair. Hopefully, you fast forwarded through all the bullshit and just heard the beginning. Hear that drum? He's playing Maestro in the background. Like. Oregon Country Pharaoh.
You never hear anybody just play the bongos to a popular song.
No, they're just like doing. I saw this one like
and like singing along with it.
Extremely African gentleman, like he was like a really like he looked like he was from Kenya, and he had like
somebody just bongoing stranglehold.
Oh,
and
he was
singing
like,
along.
It was like speed metal bongoing or congoing or djembeing or whatever. And there was this white hippie chick. It was the finale, Saturday night. It was the last drummer, the sole survivor, 4:30 a.m. And there's one other guy just kind of dinking on a cowbell. Dink, dink, dink. But these two, this guy on the drums and this chick dancing barefoot on the dirt, were like dueling with the dancing and the beating of the drums. And he would go, and she'd start like trying to go with her feet. Like she was stomping so hard, dude. You... on the earth that you could feel it. I was sitting on a hay bale and I could feel her pounding her feet on the earth. Like
what?
I was, and I swear to God,
damn.
Dude.
Was she a heavy woman?
No, she was fit as a fiddle. She was doing that for like 15 minutes. Huh. They were just like, she'd dance around, freak out for a while. And then he'd kind of go, you know, he's like doing the regular thing, and it's kind of mellow, and she's just kind of doing the gypsy style hippie dance, and then all of a sudden she'd turn around and they'd make eye contact and he'd start going, and she'd start looking at him and she'd start fucking rooking with her feet. It was just
doing the old
and I
white stripes thing, looking at each other.
Seriously felt like I was like watching live documentary about some shit that most people don't ever see, you know, because it was the setting. Wooden weird shit built that was real primitive, and this guy was like super African and she was super hippian, and they were just like, it was like a battle of I don't even know what.
All right, so you're there for 120 hours.
Yeah.
And you slept 20.
Pretty much.
All right, so that's,
pretty much.
That's not where I'm going, but 100 hours there of experiences.
Yeah.
How So the 100%
today.
Let's say how many percent was surrealistic,
dude? Like at least 50.
All right,
at least 50%.
I love a good surrealistic feeling.
Whoa! Like, is this even happening right now?
It's like the first time you saw Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I saw that.
What? Jack Black's been on there, dude.
Is that a series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost. Coast to coast.
You remember Space Ghost?
I don't think I do.
From the, I think it's in the 70s.
See, I don't believe in ghosts. That's why. Just kidding.
Well, that's where Brack came from, too. So.
Brack. Thanks for listening on the Hump Day. Get out, do some humping.
Yeah.
Listen for after the show. We got some plugs coming up. We'll tell you some shows.
Plug
and
this.
In the next episode, we'll have a guest appearance from Christian Magic. He's our new
We're going to have some SNL characters on next.
He's a correspondent from England. His name is Christian Magic. Good friends with George Harrison.
Christian Magic.
Thanks for listening, you guys. We'll see you on Friday.
Woo! Rock on.
Poop your pants. Poop your pants. Poop your pants. Hey, all you taggers. What's up? Concert calendar, plugs, whatever you want to call it. Every Friday up in Portland, the Baghdad Theater, you get Tristan Spillman hosting the show. Great comedy at a great venue. Every second Friday in Eugene with Mike McGowan, it's pantsless comedy at Cornucopia with his Fifth and Pearl. By the way, if you don't know where the Baghdad is, it's Hawthorne and 37th. Every last Thursday of the month, comedy as advertised with Seth Milstein at the Granary. Right around the corner from Cornucopia. Both of those are in Eugene, near 5th and Pearl. July 25th, it's Norm Macdonald at the Cuthbert Amphitheater. What? Just heard about that. Short notice. I wish I could go. Probably won't. July 30th is Gigantour with Megadeth, Black Label Society, Hell Yeah, Fuck No, and Newstead at the Comcast Arena.
Is that real?
No. But that's me and Lance's new favorite band. It's called Fuck No. They're way better than Hell Yeah. That's in Everett, Washington. Shout out to Rebecca Rosander up there. You guys should go to that show. It's Megadeth in your hometown. July 31st, Every Time I Die in Terror at the Hawthorne Theater up in Portland. Oh, did you hear this, Gatch? August 2nd, you've heard the Blue Oyster Cult is playing at the Benton County Fairgrounds. Opening act just announced. Witch Mountain opening for Blue Oyster Cult in Corvallis. More cowbell. Big news there. That's the first band I ever saw live. Blue Oyster Cult. August 5th, it's the Sword Castle and American Sharks at Hawthorne Theater. Lots of good metal shows coming to that place constantly. If you live in Portland, check it out. August 8th, it's Doug Benson at the Grand Theater. That's in Salem. I don't know how many tickets are left, but there was only 450 available to begin with, so could sell out. He's a funny guy. He appeals to the stoner crowd, so they sell a lot of tickets. If you can't make it there, there's a free show in Albany, also August 8th, at the Monteith Park, part of River Rhythms, which is hard to say when you've been smoking pot all day. It's Fog Hat. You can take a slow ride down there at Monteith Park. It's a free show. Also, August 8th through 11th, a four-day metal festival called Northwestern Black Circle, number 5 at Bronx in Portland, including Poison Idea, Satan's Host, Witch Haven, Ex Mortis, Insanity, Coven, Ghoul, Drawn and Quartered, Toxic Holocaust, Ceremonial Castings, and a bunch more, probably like 45 bands. It's $14 a day in advance, $16 the day of the show. Or you can get a four-day pass for $52 and save you some money. August 20th, it's the Melvins and Honky at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland. August 24th, Black Sabbath at the Gorge Amphitheater. Too far to drive, a Nobel Award. You won't see me there, but hey, go check them out. August 30th, I'll be part of the Friday night comedy at the Baghdad that night. August 30th, with your host, Tristan Spillman. I will be there with about 6 other comics telling jokes and trying to make you laugh. The Uproar Fest is coming to the Sleep Country Amphitheater in Portland on September 8th, including Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction, plus much more. Between the Buried and Me, October 3rd at Hawthorne Theater. Michael Franti and Spearhead, just saw him out at the Country Fair walking around. He'll be at the McDonald Theater in Eugene on October 8th. And then a couple metal shows in October at the Hawthorne include Diamond Head and Raven on the 11th, Creator and Overkill on the 13th. There's a lot more stuff, especially local stuff going on that I didn't include in the list. So check out your Facebook events calendar if you have such a thing. And go out and do some fun stuff. We'll see you soon. Come back and listen to TagCast Podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. Do it.